N-Y-Y-S-T.
Hold up, why do they doubt the kid? I'm about to prove them all wrong again. I got a low tolerance, cause they don't even know where their problem is. It's me. You waiting on the boy to fail, then hold your breath and face your death. Cause you play a roulette with each step I progress, no less. Go ahead and place your bets. Cause we know where we at, we know we top tier. Cause all the hate that you bring, we know it stops here. I'm taking off like a rocketeer and stopping here. It's strange how they cannot see the future, but see profit here. Wait up.
Welcome back. This is episode 528 of the NYYST podcast. We are presented by NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian. It is Memorial Day. We are the land of the free because of the brave, so please always remember that. The New York Yankees, about an hour ago, pulled a win out from the jaws of defeat here as they defeated the Kansas City Royals by a score of 4-3. And everybody's favorite shortstop, Anthony Volpe, came through with a big, big two-run single to send the Yankees to that 4-3 win as they were trailing there in the ninth inning. So Memorial Day is generally the first mile marker of the Major League Baseball season. So if you take a look at where the Yankees are, they're in a good spot, but not a great spot, because the overriding theme of this show throughout the first 54 games of this year has been optimizing opportunities for October. We said I'm a big alliteration guy. There's your alliteration once again here for the Yankees. So there's two ways you can look at this. You can look at this as what, if somebody would have came down and said to you, this is what the Yankees are on Memorial Day, if they would have said that to you on opening day, would you have taken it? Well, the Yankees are currently 10 games over 500, and they have the second best record in the American League. If you would have told me that on opening day, I'm signing for it, okay? Because I had my reservations about what I thought this Yankee team could be in the regular season this year, and to tell me that they were 10 over and the second best team in the league on Memorial Day, I'd be good with that, and I would sign for it. But it's not how life really works. Somebody can't just come down and say, well, this is what the end result is. Are you okay with that? Because as we try to dissect this team, we need to know what did it look like along the way here. And, well, what it looks like is an incredibly inconsistent team. The Yankees just didn't go on a big hot streak and then play 500 baseball. They had a big hot streak, and then they lost five in a row. And they had a big hot streak, and then they had a 2-7 road trip. So they are having these incredible highs and these incredible lows. And then if you look at this past week here, it's been incredibly frustrating because you said, okay, they blew the game in Citi Field. They're coming home to play Toronto. They're coming home to play the Rays, play better baseball. Well, the Yankees come out. They beat the Toronto Blue Jays the first two games of the series. And then they suddenly forget how to score. In the final two games of the series, they end up with a split. And then Gerrit Cole comes back on Friday. Looks incredible. We'll talk about that a little bit more as the show goes on. Again, they can't score. They lose. Rain out. They need a ninth inning comeback, walk-off from Aaron Judge. The only two runs they score in the entire game on Sunday, and they win that game. So they end up having a 3-3 homestand where you're like, it's not really what I wanted or needed from this team. And so they beat the Rays on Sunday. The Rays end up losing on Monday. So now the lead in the division is 5. Is it really a good spot for the Yankees to be in? No, not really, because, look, you had a chance over the week to really kind of just step on the necks of the Toronto Blue Jays and taking 3 or 4, sweeping, especially when you were up two games to none in the series. You didn't do that. You kind of let them hang around. I do think we're going to get a big Toronto run at some point this year, and by not winning this series, it allows that door to still kind of be open for the Toronto Blue Jays. And you look at the Rays here, you wanted to send a message to the Rays that, okay, whatever you've been doing over the last 25 games, whatever you did to us in Tampa, things are a little bit different now, except that they really weren't, because you couldn't score on Friday night. You get the rain out on Saturday. You don't score at all through 8 innings on Sunday. It was just Ryan Weathers was up for the task on Sunday, and Judge comes up with the big home run. And you look around at the Yankees, and what are they? What are the Yankees? The Yankees are an incredibly frustrating baseball team, is what they are. So again, you look at what the facts are. 10 over, second best team in the American League. If you tell me that on an opening night, I'm signing for it. But as I watch things play out here, I'm not okay with the way the Yankees have looked. They are a team that can't hit. Okay. Aaron Judge, through the last 12 games or so, has been on a terrible, has been in a terrible slump. Where on Memorial Day, and for mere mortals here, these are still pretty good numbers, but for Aaron Judge, these are very pedestrian numbers. And when we talk about all the time, we've said it 100 times, when is Aaron Judge not Superman? Can the Yankees sustain that? Well, he hasn't been Superman this year. He really hasn't. So through 196 at-bats, 54 games this year, Aaron Judge is hitting 250. 17 home runs, 32 runs batted in, 933 OPS. That's still freaking incredible when you compare it to the rest of the league. Not what the Yankees need or have come to expect out of Aaron Judge. And this isn't me knocking Aaron Judge, okay? I'm not saying, why don't you come in here? I'm taking swipes at Aaron Judge. This is just not what we're doing here. But how many times have you guys heard me say this throughout the course of this show, especially in the last year or so, is what happens when Aaron Judge isn't Superman anymore? And through the first 54 games of the season, he has not been Superman. And you've seen the residual effects of that on the Yankee offense. Because Ben Rice, since the hand injury, has not been very good. In his last 15 games, he's hitting 177. That's not the same guy that we saw at the beginning of the year. So overall, Ben Rice has been really good for the Yankees, 276, 16 home runs, 978 OPS, but not near the guy he was before the hand injury. Okay. The other offensive guy that's been pretty consistent, even though he doesn't really hit outside of Yankee Stadium, although he had a big home run today in the game, is Cody Bellinger. It's a very top-heavy lineup here for the Yankees. That's why when you look at Giancarlo Stanton's absence, it's a lot bigger than people kind of want to admit that it is, because you lengthen out this lineup when you put Giancarlo Stanton in the middle of it. Regardless of what you think of Giancarlo Stanton at this point of his career, he's still a threat to hit a home run every time he's up there, where the Yankees don't have many of those guys in this lineup right now. It lengthens out this lineup when you have Giancarlo Stanton in the middle of it. Because if you look at what the Yankees have done here, okay, so G goes down, they bring up Jason Dominguez, and Jason Dominguez was starting to kind of come along a little bit and then nearly decapitates himself in that final game against Texas. He has to go on the IL, and they bring up Spencer Jones, who was just, he was abysmal. Let's just be fair about it. He struck out a ton. I was hoping we were going to see glimpses of the power, never got it. He had a couple of hits, a couple of RBIs, but no home runs. And when Cabby came off the IL, that was the move. They sent Spencer Jones down. So now the Yankees are going with this lineup as Rice as the DH, which I hate, because if this is supposed to be your future first baseman, DHing him is not helping him develop as a first baseman. Okay, and Goldschmidt playing every day, which I did not want to see happen. Okay, I don't want Paul Goldschmidt playing every day. It's not good for him. It's not good for the team. Paul Goldschmidt is better in select situations. You want to give Rice a day off against a tough lefty? Bang, there's Paul Goldschmidt. You got, you want to pinch hit for McMahon or Wells or whoever's catching that day with a tough lefty coming in out of the bullpen? That's where you go to Paul Goldschmidt. You want to tighten up the defense with a lead late in the game? That's where you go to Paul Goldschmidt. The Yankees are playing Paul Goldschmidt every day. I realize in real time it's only been 3 games, but this seems like what their plan is right now. And it's not a plan that I like, and I don't think you're going to get the maximum value out of Paul Goldschmidt at this stage of his career by playing him every day. Okay? So as we look at here, the first mile marker checkpoint of the Major League season here at Memorial Day, I look at a team that needs to improve their offense. I'm like on the fence of saying, should I say that more so than anything, or is it the bullpen that they need to improve more so than anything? Because these are the two biggest things that are going to hold the Yankees back right now. Well, if Aaron Judge goes on a heater here, and he's been better the last 3 games, not much to show for it. on Friday, but he did hit a couple of balls really hard over 100 miles an hour, and I thought he was going to break out. And he has the walk-off home run on Sunday. And then today he has the double in his second at-bat. And the first at-bat, he rips one to right over 100 miles an hour. So the at-bats have been better. The quality of contact has been better. So I don't think we're too far off from an Aaron Judge heater here. And maybe that does put a little bit of deodorant on some of the offensive problems here. And then you look at Jazz Chisholm, who has been coming around here recently. He's hitting 365 over his last 15 games. He's been much closer to the Jazz Chisholm that I think a lot of us expect out there. Okay. Now, you guys know my feelings towards Jazz Chisholm, but I still do think he's a better baseball player than what he's shown the majority of the season. So over the last 15 games, since he's been wearing Stan's pants, he's been closer to that guy. And then you take Belly and Rice and Judge with Jazz, and you try to figure out where that fifth guy comes from. And then at least half of your lineup is hitting, and then maybe you don't have so many dead spots here. Because if you look at this game today, the Yankees needed a ninth-inning rally to come back, when really they shouldn't have even needed a ninth-inning rally, because they had two opportunities early in this game, up 2-0, to add runs with a runner at third and one out, and they couldn't get the job done. See, it's about situational hitting as well. It's not just guys that are going to club and mash and slug. It's about getting things done situationally. That's why in the second inning, after the Belly home run with two outs, and Cabbie comes up with that single to get the second run in, I thought that was a great at-bat. That was a huge run that the Yankees definitely needed. But in the third and fourth innings, I believe it was, they had those opportunities to score more runs and just couldn't push the run across. The biggest culprit, you know, really being Bellinger there. That's a guy that hits situationally all the time, and Judge's at third with one out, and he pops the ball up. I mean, that was a crushing out right there. And then Cabbie, I think it was first and third with one out, an inning later, grounds into a double play. Can't really, you know, I have a certain level of expectations for Caballero. He had to hit earlier in the game, so I'm not going to freak out about that one. But it's still a situation where just, can you lift me a fly ball there? Can we get something into the outfield? And the same thing with Belly. Like, this guy hits situationally all the time, and, like, we really needed it in that situation. So the Yankees are struggling to score runs. And then when the Yankees do have leads late in games, it's like, where do you go to get the outs? Brent Hedrick, okay, he's been good overall, but as the season progresses, I want better options than Brent Hedrick. Fernando Cruz, every time Fernando Cruz comes out there and, you know, extinguishes a fire, fan, and then he comes out of the game and fans are pissed because then the next guy comes in and completely lights the entire forest up, you know, and they're like, oh, why didn't you leave Cruz in? Because you can't do that to Fernando Cruz. That's not how, it's not your best usage of Fernando Cruz. I don't care how good the splitter looked. He did his job. It's time to go to somebody else. And then Bednar was good today, although, of course, the two-out walk, because God forbid, you know, we ever have a clean inning from David Bednar. And he's still sitting with a 4.70 ERA. That's got to change. You know, Tim Hill has been fine this year. I know he got rocked against the Rays on Friday night, which really tilted that game in the Rays' direction. But that was an error by Caballero that allowed that door to be open there. And then you really don't want Tim Hill facing a lot of right-handers. And, you know, and I know Aranda got him there too, but where are they going for bullpen help? And if you read Joel Sherman earlier today, it doesn't seem like they're looking outside the organization, because Sherman said that the Yankees are looking at things internally on how to fix this bullpen because of the, quote, fickle nature of relievers. No, is it the fickle nature of relievers, or the GM doesn't know how to acquire good ones? Because they mentioned in recent years, Lou Trevino, Devin Williams, trying to do this all the time I hear, Camilo Duvall, Jake Bird, Scott Efros, and Mark Leiter Jr. are just not being good for this team and have been trade deadline acquisitions or a big trade preseason in the case of Devin Williams, and only really noting that Bednar was good for them down the stretch run last year. So is it the, quote, fickle nature of relievers, which, you know, if you're making a stew and you're throwing the ingredients in, that is an ingredient in it? Or is the main ingredient, which you know, make that argument. The GM is not picking the right relievers. So as you look here again at the Yankees at Memorial Day, and what is the biggest need here? I didn't think it was going to be offense, but is it offense or the bullpen? Because those are the two things that are going to keep the Yankees from getting to not getting to October. Don't get that twisted. The American League is terrible. Okay? If the Yankees don't play postseason baseball at all, heads have to roll. This team is healthy. Like, these are the guys that are here now or still here in September. There's no excuse for that. There's still more than enough talent on this team with a very, very weak American League here. The Yankees can't stand pat at the trade deadline. They're going to have to make moves. They're going to have to import bats. They're going to have to import relief pitching, because, you know, you can say, oh, the fickle nature and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? Where are your internal options? We saw Yovani Cruz, and he was a little wild, but the stuff is there. Eric Reiselman's a guy that's kind of creating some buzz in the minor league system that could be an option. I know a lot of fans are thinking about Carlos Grange once he hits his innings, that could be a guy. I mean, the guy I'm looking at right now in the major league roster that makes the most sense is Ryan Weathers. Ryan Weathers long-term is a starting pitcher. Okay, there's no doubt about that in my mind. I have seen enough from Ryan Weathers this season that I am confident in saying that he's going to be a key fixture in this rotation for the next few years. He's that good. He's got that good of stuff. He's got the ability to go deep in games. We've seen that numerous times already this season. He's still a work in progress. He's still really friggin' good. It's going to go down as one of Brian Cashman's better trades in the last handful of years. That was an excellent job of Brian Cashman of pinpointing this guy and acquiring him. Really is. I mean, you can knock him for some things. Can't knock him for the Ryan Weathers trade. Excellent trade. Problem with Ryan Weathers is he threw 38 innings last year. And if we look at what he's done so far this year, I believe he's already doubled that. I got to look this up real quick. After Sunday's start, that Ryan Weathers has thrown exactly. Let's see. He's got a 3.14 ERA this year. I mean, you're going to complain about that just because he gave up some home runs in a couple of games. Ryan Weathers has thrown 57 in a third innings. Okay, so his next start will put him into the mid-60s. He threw 38 last year. How far can the Yankees push him? Well, I think the Yankees are going to push him until Max Fried is back. Now, Max Fried played catch today. Aaron Boone said don't read too much into that. He's still not in the quote ramp-up process, but I guess it's always a good sign to see a guy that's been shut down and starting to throw, however little throwing it is. So it's not a bad thing that he's throwing. It's just he's still not close. So do the Yankees say another month, 5-6 weeks, however long it takes to get Max Fried back, and then Ryan Weathers to the bullpen? Because with his slider, change-up combination, and that 95-plus fastball, which probably will tick a lot higher, knowing that he can max out for 4 or 5 outs. I mean, that's a weapon right there. For sure it is. And people ask, well, why not Will Warren? Because Will Warren is already an established starter in this league. Will Warren has already logged enough innings where you don't have to worry about it. And I don't, first of all, you guys know I love Will Warren. He ain't got the stuff to be a late inning reliever. That's not who Will Warren is. This bullpen, amongst other needing reliable arms, they need strikeout stuff back there. They don't have it. Ryan Weathers would provide that. So right now, Ryan Weathers is your in your rotation, taking a ball every 5 days. Should be feeling pretty confident about him taking that ball every 5 days. But when Max Fried is ready to come back, that's where he's going. I mean, everybody else is built up. Even you look at Cam Schiller, I know the Yankees are going to want to finagle the innings a little bit here and there. But, you know, combined last year, he threw about 150 innings. He could give the Yankees 170, 180, no problem this year. You know, Cole and Rodon are going to work their way back here, and I'm sure, you know, they'll be able to give the Yankees what they can give the Yankees. But you look and you say, hey, it's going to be Ryan Weathers is going to be the odd man out when Max Fried comes back. And that's not a knock on Ryan Weathers. That's just a fact of life that he was injured last year and has not logged a lot of innings. And he could be really, really good for this team in this bullpen. So if the Yankees are looking for in-house options to solve their bullpen issues, it's Ryan Weathers when Max Fried is back. Now, is he the closer? Is he a setup guy? That's a different conversation. That's a conversation that David Bednar will be able to answer here over the coming weeks if he can lock it in. Because I still love David Bednar. I really do. I know he's been shaky, to say the least. And that loss to the Mets really sticks in your craw still a week later. Should have never happened. But I want a guy that's on the mound in the ninth inning that is not scared to be on the mound in the ninth inning. He's got to perform, absolutely. But one of the biggest prerequisites for being a closer is you can't be scared out there. And I don't think David Bednar is scared to be out there. So, again, what are we looking at the Yankees here on Memorial Day? We're looking at a team that, to me, on May 25th, is a surefire postseason team. It's a team that needs a lot of work at the trade deadline to optimize those opportunities in October. And as frustrating as this team has been to watch through the first 54 games of the season, when you look around the rest of the American League, it is a team that has zero excuses to not be in the World Series this year. Zero. Okay? Absolutely zero excuses. So you want to do a first mile marker look at the Yankees, that's what it is. A frustrating team, a team that can't hit, a team that has no bullpen, a team that has a disgustingly good starting rotation, a team that is still 10 games over 500, a team that is still the second best team in the American League, a team that needs a lot of work at the trade deadline, and a team that still on this day with the roster they have should have zero excuses for being in the World Series this year. That's who the Yankees are on Memorial Day. And one of the big reasons why the Yankees have a disgustingly good starting rotation is because Gerrit Cole made his return after 569 days and Tommy John surgery to the Yankees on Friday night, and he was absolutely outstanding. You could not ask for more out of Gerrit Cole than what he gave the Yankees on Friday night, six scoreless innings. I wanted to be at the Yankee Stadium so bad on Friday night. It's just that we had my daughter's friend's birthday party with her friends on Friday because it was the kids got out of school early and I got out of, you know, work early and my wife didn't have work at all, you know, teacher's life, right? And we said, let's do, you know, because we had to postpone it because it just rains all the time when you don't want it to rain, right? Nice during the week and rains on the weekend. What an absolutely shitty Memorial Day weekend we had up here, Saturday and Sunday. Turns out to be pretty nice here on Monday, but so we had it, and you know, was trying to, as much as I wanted to sneak away, it was a good thing that nobody else could have went to the game because I probably would have not ended well for me. But I 100% wanted to be at the stadium on Friday night and just give Gerrit Cole the love and the ovation that he so richly deserved. And he went out there and he shoved, man. He was fucking great, Look, because the bullpen shit the game away doesn't mean that Aaron Boone was wrong for pulling him after six innings. I know the pitch count was in the 70s. He had a couple of really efficient innings. But that doesn't mean that you push a guy in his first start back from Tommy John surgery. Cole thought he was done. Boone thought he was done. I have zero issues with him coming out. And I said that before I even knew that Cole came out and said that he thought he was done, that he thought six was enough in his first start back. Okay? So I have no issues with how anything was handled. One thing that I would have done, and I would have talked to Gerrit Cole about this if I was the manager, I would have brought him back out for the seventh inning for one batter just so he could walk off the mound and hear the fans. He deserved that. He really did. After everything this guy's done as a Yankee, he's lived up to the contract. He's lived up to the billing of an ace. He hasn't pitched since Game 5 of the World Series in 2024. First game back at Yankee Stadium. I would have loved for him just to get one more batter in the seventh inning, regardless of outcome, just so he could walk off the mound to the ovation that he deserved. Small gripe, small potatoes in the grand scheme of things, but Gerrit Cole was so good on Friday night. And I didn't expect much. I'll be honest with you. I did not expect much out of Gerrit Cole on Friday night. And as big of a Gerrit Cole guy as I am, I should know better than to doubt him, because he took the mound at Yankee Stadium on Friday night that he needed to prove something to not only himself, but the rest of Major League Baseball, that the ace of the New York Yankees is back. And he was. And we'll close the show out with this, because the Tigers are playing really, really bad baseball. They are quickly in a bad American League, falling out of things here. The Tigers are in last place in the AL Central, 10 games behind the Cleveland Guardians, who are only a game behind the Yankees for that second-best record in the American League. So what do the Tigers have that everybody wants? They have Tarik Skubal. The Tigers have Tarik Skubal, and the Tigers don't look like they're going anywhere this year, so that likely means that Tarik Skubal is going to be on the trade block. And as a Yankee fan, I bet you all are thinking I'm coming on here and saying, go get Tarik Skubal. And I'm going to say just the opposite. The Yankees don't need Tarik Skubal. If you look through this last turn through the rotation here, the Yankees have gotten five stellar outings from their starting rotation. Cam Schuller gave up two earned runs. Carlos Rodon gave up one earned run. Colin Weathers gave up zero earned runs. And then Will Warren gave up two earned runs. And the Yankees went 2-3 and needed two ninth inning rallies to secure those two wins. They don't need Tarik Skubal. I know that you're probably sitting there thinking, Schlittler, Cole, Fried, and Skubal in the postseason could possibly be the greatest postseason rotation ever. They don't need it. They got what they need in the starting rotation to go through October. And they don't need to spend the prospect capital to go out there and get Tarik Skubal when they have the holes on this team that they currently do. They don't have a bullpen. They have two or three guys in this lineup that can hit. They are struggling to score runs. If you're going to spend big at the trade deadline, it should not be on Tarik Skubal, especially when he's going to walk at the end of the year, and you know the Yankees aren't going to compete financially for him with the Mets or the Dodgers. It's not worth it. And yes, the Yankees need to be all in at the trade deadline. They have to fortify this team in the best way possible to go for it and try to win their 28th World Championship. But to spend the prospect capital or have to trade a guy like Will Warren for 2 months of Tarik Skubal when you already have Max Fried and guys like Cole and Schlittler, it's not worth it when you need a big right-handed bat in this lineup. It's not worth it when you need one, two, maybe even three legit top-of-the-line arms out in that bullpen. Or if the Yankees went out there and get Tarik Skubal, am I coming on here ranting and raving? Hell no, I'm not. But still, at the end of the day, that's not a move that the New York Yankees need to make if they want to go and win a world championship. It's sexy. It's splashy. It's going to make this starting rotation, like I said, probably one of the best postseason rotations ever with the names that are going to be in it. Doesn't get the Yankees one step closer to winning a World Series. And that's what they need to focus in on at the trade deadline this year. They need to focus in on guys that are going to come in here and get them closer to winning a World Series, because their starting rotation is damn good enough as it is right now to go and win a World Championship. When those guys leave the game, yeah, who's holding the lead? If they can even score enough runs to get it. And yeah, I know what happened in the Toronto series with Fried and Rodon last year. But you're going to have Cole and Schlittler to go up against them also this year. And maybe even Will Warren. So I get it. I understand that you guys want Tarik Skubal and he's available. And Bob Nightingale said that, you know, it's the Dodgers and the Padres and I forget the other, the Blue Jays possibly with the Yankees being in on him. Great. Go and get him. You know what? I'm not going to be mad if you went and got him, but then you also have to do other things here. You can't just say, oh, look at what we gave up for Tarek Skubal. We couldn't afford to do other things, because that's not going all in. That's not trying to win a championship. You're making a strength stronger, which is great, but it doesn't get you closer to winning a championship. And that's what they need to do. They need to look around and find that big right-handed bat that they can maybe play at third base or play in center field, because Trent Grisham sucks, okay? I'm sorry. They need to improve center field. They need to improve third base. They need to find a catcher. They need two or three arms in the bullpen. You can't just be so short-sighted to say Tarek Skubal and we're done here. That's the point of this whole conversation. You're going to spend big, find a big bopper to put in the middle of the lineup. You're going to spend big, find the closer to shut the game down and move Bednar up to be your seventh or eighth inning guy. That's how you win a championship, not by bringing in Tarek Skubal. Tarek Skubal and those other moves, yeah, let's do it, bro. I'm 100% down with that all day, every day. But Tarek Skubal alone does not get the Yankees closer to winning a championship, and that's what this trade deadline has to be about. So if you disagree with me, I'm on Twitter, at Christian_NYYST. I'd love to hear your thoughts about it, because that's how I feel about it, okay? And how I would feel about you guys is I would love you to the end of the earth and back if you dropped a 5-star rating and review right here on this very podcast platform that you're listening to us on right now. This is the final season of NYYST. Please subscribe, and so you don't miss any new episodes here in the final season, and show us some love here in our final year. 10 years are coming down to the final few months here. This is our last episode of May. First 2 months have gone by in a blink of an eye here. And we love you guys for all your continued support here. And please also make sure you are subscribed to NYY Underground on YouTube, so you don't miss anything new going on with Game Season Live, the Designated Spitters, or the Bronx of Nowhere with me and my buddy Kev. We'll be back this Thursday live at 8:30, so don't miss that as well. And keep telling everybody we are the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. As we continue to move along here, the Yankees will finish up this series with the Kansas City Royals, who, including the postseason now, have beaten the Royals 12 consecutive times here, and they're going to close this out with two more games against the Royals. I don't know how I'm on the Royals homepage here, but it doesn't matter, as it'll be Cam Schlittler against Bailey Falter in his 9.82 ERA on Tuesday night. I mean, if the Yankees don't win that game, I don't know. We should all collectively ram our heads into the wall. And then 7:40 on Wednesday to close out the series, it'll be Noah Cameron against Gerrit Cole, making his second start of the year. So, you know what? It's right in front of the Yankees here to go out there and win this series and actually sweep it. So I would suggest that the Yankees actually do that before they have an off day on Thursday. And then they'll be in Oakland or Sacramento or wherever the fuck the A's play these days for three games over the weekend. So that's the look ahead here. Again, we love you guys so much, man. This is, like we said, this is the final season here. Let's keep it moving here with all your love and support as we move along here. And excuse me. I don't know why I lost my train of thought. I literally have one more sentence to say. I'm sorry. Sometimes this happens to me. I'm old and shit happens. So, yes, this has been episode 528. We thank everybody so much for listening, and I'll see you guys next time.